Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown! Oh, my goodness!
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Here's the deal, guys.
Ladies.
We got another injury. And as we talk about the Falcons and we get this hour started, our Falcon Report is brought to you by our friends at Domino's. It's a great night with the NBA starting to order Domino's, Mike, at Domino's.com.
Yeah, man, if you want to stay up and watch the West Coast games or whatever, man, it's a large three-topping pizza, $7.99, carry-out only, and it's good every night of the week. It's a little double dip because you got baseball playoffs tonight, too.
So as we got the show started today, there was a report out originally by Jay Glazer. Then various other football writers jumped on that report. The report was that the Falcons were going to put Devontae Freeman on IR. They since have done that. And Mike and I were talking about this behind the scenes, and we've been talking with you all day about it, and we'd love to hear your thoughts at 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Now, before you panic and you go, another injury, yes, it is. But this is one that we've been equipped for with two capable running backs that have shown you through 6 weeks of the season that we're going to be okay. And Ito Smith, the judge, and Tevin Coleman. But, Mike, with this injury specifically, and guys, remember, Free has been dealing with various injuries. And this is kind of what Mike and I were talking about and kind of saying, all right, well, when did the Falcons know? And Von McClure, who writes for ESPN, says that the MRI of his groin showed a couple of days after the Pittsburgh game that they sent it to a specialist in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And this specialist said he needed surgery. But there was a discussion about Free waiting until the end of the season or, you know, getting it now. And obviously things have played out where he's going to have this surgery now. I don't know how long this has been going on, but he's been dealing, Mike, with various injuries.
Started with an ankle injury in the Eagles game. 14 carries, 68 yards on the season, by the way, for Free. And then after the ankle injury, then it was a foot bruise. 3 weeks, of course, he was held out after that Eagles game. And then, of course, this groin thing, which, you know, we did not know about. So was it ankle squid? What was it?
I believe it was a sore knee, the same knee that he had hurt at the end of the season last year.
That's what it was, because we started saying, well, maybe he should have had the surgery, and did he not have it, and that's an exacerbated that injury. Either way, he would be eligible for what is Week 17, our final game against Tampa Bay, or is it the Carolina game? It's
the Carolina game, Week 16.
All right. So there you go. If he can make it back and we can keep our head above water, you might have Free for a potential, I mean, wild card game if we can hang in there. But, I mean, we've lost a starting guard. Now a starting running back who's got Pro Bowl, you know, credentials, a Pro Bowl middle linebacker, Pro Bowl free safety, our starting strong safety reverse that free safety when losing Ricardo Allen. You throw Grady Jarrett in the mix, missing some games. Didn't even mention that, you know, I just said it earlier, we did lose, you know, a guy that, you know, Lavitre is better than Schweitzer, just is. So can you overcome this? The Packers are the team, which is kind of the poster child for overcoming the most injuries. They had basically a quarter of their team went on IR the year they beat us in 2010 on the way to the Super Bowl win over the Steelers.
It is it's a tough situation, but as I've said, there are some positions, you just mentioned one, guard, that I've been more concerned about with protecting Matt Ryan than I have been with who's going to run the ball or how are we going to run the ball effectively. Guys, we haven't run it great, but we've run it enough to keep teams honest, and I think Ito is going to get better, and I think Coleman's going to get better. Here's the thing, though, and this is part of the conversation, because now you're saying, all right, he's going to have surgery, he's going to come back next season, and we do hope this to be the case, that Mike, he's going to be great. He's going to be 100% ready to go. But with the contract that Free has signed, it raises the question as to what do the Falcons really do now with Coleman moving forward? And we came into this season and we said, all right, Coleman, man, this is a year where he's either playing for a deal here or somewhere else. And I still think that's the case. But now with Free, aren't you a little cautious about moving on from Coleman potentially?
Well, but that's the thing. I mean, how do you judge how good Coleman is? I mean, we have a good sample size. We've seen him over the last couple seasons. But this year, the offensive line has only had 100-yard game. And we're averaging, he's averaging around 30 yards a game since that game against Carolina. So if you think that this guy can Coleman tote the ball 25 times a game? Because that's the argument against Free. You don't give a guy who had 227 carries, 264 carries, a big, gigantic contract because he's too slight a guy. I just thought, look, it's all hindsight, guys. Yes, right now we can all sit back and look back through time and say, shouldn't have signed Free, should have drafted Todd Gurley, shouldn't have signed, you know, shouldn't have drafted Vic. But at the time, you've got to go back. And that's what Carl and I, we've been talking about off the air today. You got to go back to the moment. The dude accounted for 27 touchdowns. That's a lot of, and 1,000 yards, you want to say he was just over 1,000 yards, still a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
And you weren't going to, his people weren't going to accept $6 million a year. You paid him $8 million. Now let's fast forward. What if he's going to be forever now this injured guy that can't give you a complete season? You're going to cut him? We can split the cap hit in half over 2 years, $4.5 million over this over the next year and 2020. Is that what you're going to do? And then do you have enough money to sign Coleman, Grady, maybe beef up your O-line? All the other things you got
to
do.
And I was about to say, don't forget about looking at Julio's deal, because that's something else they said.
Who?
Julio. They said they're going to address. This is all the stuff that's going on. Now, right now, in this moment, what does it have to do with the New York Football Giants? Nothing. Because the Falcons and the guys that are on the field still have every goal in front of them, and that is to win the division, that is to get into the playoffs, and you've got plenty of games in football left to do that. These are things that certainly we'll be talking about moving forward, but these injuries play a part. And I always say this. I can't evaluate you. Coach Quinn can't evaluate you. Sark can't evaluate you if you're not on the field. All right? And that goes for any of these guys. So for the guy that says, oh, well, he'll just be back and he'll be 100%, we certainly hope so. But as a team and an organization and as a fan base, you know, we're old. We're old the ability to say, what's plan B? And right. You better have one and not just think, well, you know what, we'll move on from Coleman and we'll be fine because we'll get into a situation next year where we're not, and then you'll be calling us going, what happened?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you like Ito Smith, we've told. And by the way, Ito Smith has a lot of college wear on that tire. If you want to look
at it. He carried it a lot at Southern Miss.
He was yes. The guy that they put it all on him, you know, for those Eagles. But I like Coleman. I don't want to lose Coleman, but what's that number look like? How do you find out what that contract's going to be based on the fact that he's had – I got one game so far with 100 yards rushing. And the fact that you're betting on the come that Free is never going to get healthy again, you're going to cut him? I don't know, man.
I don't think that.
I also think that I do trust Dimitroff. I don't trust him with offensive line draft or D-line, but I certainly trust him with skill positions. I know Thomas Dimitroff can go find us a good running back.
Well, think about this. When we drafted Free – right, we went out the next season. We drafted Coleman, and you went, "What are they doing? We just drafted a running back." Then we just drafted Ito, and you go, "What are they doing?" This is what they're doing.
Gotta
this
have
is
that depth.
You do, and as good as you may be at one position, it's injuries like this that we've seen with our football team that you know separate the elite teams that are able to still maintain and win, and that's something that this team has been able to do. We've been in games. The only game we got our butt kicks was the Steeler game for the most part. But I just think, Mike, that when you talk about this particular move, and I'm specifically talking about Freeman, this now becomes a bigger decision than it was 6 weeks ago. When the season started, there was one thinking, one form of thought that, you know what, Free's going to have a good season. We're going to, and then this injury happens. But it wasn't just the injury. These are nagging things. We're talking about not just the surgery he's going to have,
right.
But you just said it, bruised knee, foot. What's going on with all this stuff?
Well, there you go. I mean, is he now the guy that to all the folks out here that say, I told you we never should have given him that contract because an undersized guy is not going to be able to absorb the kind of punishment and hits that he's had to take.
Can we talk about that for a minute? It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up with our National Signing Bonus Contest. Also, a chance for you to win Hawks opening night tickets. Listen for the sounder this hour, and you will have a chance to be caller 9 and win tickets. Let's talk about this. You just said a revisionist history. Let's go back. When we drafted, because this is part of the conversation guys want to bring up with us, when we draft Vic Beasley, okay, and there is a thought that, well, you had Todd Gurley on the board. Listen, we drafted at a time where we had no pass rush, okay? We had no legitimate edge rushers really on this football team. And for that matter, young edge rushers that were going to grow into their own. The Vic Beasley pick was a pick of need for this football team. Now, if you want to go best athlete, Mike, revisionist history is, yeah, you could have drafted Todd Gurley, but you had a guy that you had just seen perform well.
Look, if I had a defensive line like the Seahawks did a few years ago, or if I had a defensive line that kind of stuff, the Eagles, if you had, like, if you got the guys under contract and you were manageable, yes, you could have said, I will take the best athlete available. We haven't had two legitimate pass rushers opposite each other in years on this team. And I'm not – look, we all know that Vic is driving us all crazy now because he can't get quarterbacks on the ground. But the reason you drafted Vic Beasley, the dude had 48 tackles for loss. He had 30 sacks in his career at Clemson. He looked the part. Thought it was going to be great. And obviously, after the double-digit sack season, it's all gone south for Vic Beasley. So the only time he's successful now is when you put him next to Tack. You got to have him next attack on the defensive line to get any kind of effort out of this guy.
Well, and Mike, that's a whole nother discussion then if you're going to say, all right, well, what's the long-term viability of Vic Beasley?
By the way, let me back that up because I don't want him with the Falcons getting mad at me. The effort is there. The ability isn't there with Vic.
You know me. I don't care. Almost.
I mean, it's not like he's dogging it. He just can't get there. It's not like he's not trying. He just isn't good enough.
I could care less who gets mad. The facts are the facts. Almost.
Right.
That's what we're talking about right now. Get mad if you want to. Let's make some plays, okay?
And I love the fact that Dan Quinn, every press conference, yeah, really excited with Vic. What is he doing? I mean, he was a first-round draft pick. I just gave you the guy's college resume. Pops off the page at you. How is this not translating at the NFL level?
Well,
how many times have we had this conversation with Chuck Smith?
I think there's many reasons why, and we're going to have plenty of time to diagnose it. But I'm still keeping hope that he is going to get what we want him to do and have the kind of season he wants to have, and that is having more effect on the quarterback. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, 404-741-0929. But as far as the Freeman situation, it's more interesting than some of these other injuries. Keanu Neal is going to come back. He's going to be your safety, okay? Rico just signed a new deal. He's coming back. And the addition of what we're seeing with KZ, they may be playing, you know, he may be playing more. Mm. That's fine, but I'm not worried about it. Debo's coming back. Grady's going to be back. This is an interesting situation only because now you have to make a decision on if you want to pay another running back after having paid free.
Right. And that's the thing, guys. We'll see how hopefully the offensive line can continue to create some holes because we look how one-dimensional we are other than that Carolina game. I mean, Matt Ryan is putting up ridiculous numbers without interceptions and with really without the benefit of a bona fide running game. And by the way, the other roster moves, for those who missed it earlier, you heard Mike on the update. Giorgio Tavecchio has been signed. He's on the depth chart as a kicker, and now we're hoping that Matt Ryan could get back. Because let's be honest, Carl, we're going to be in, based on how we've looked so far this season, games where we're going to need quality field goal kicker.
Yep.
It's a word. I mean, look, it's not Matt's fault. He blew out a hamstring kick in a 57-yarder. But boy, oh boy, I hope this Tavecchio is up to the challenge.
All right, guys. Again, and I know a lot of guys want to chime in. Some guys, you know, don't get crazy. When you start talking about, and let's address this too, real quick, before we give you some money. This whole notion, trade him. You're an NFL general manager.
All right, I'll be the general manager. You be Dimitrov, okay?
You pick up the phone.
Hey, L.A. Rams, what's going on, Holmes?
We already got
a run back.
We're good.
Miami Dolphins, what's going on?
Well, we're fine. What's going on with you guys?
Well, how would you like to? I got a guy. He's got a great heart and he's a tremendous effort. And he's had concussions and he's missed a bunch of games.
Thanks, he's too injured.
And he's got a contract through the year 2020.
Thanks.
One.
Thanks.
What's that?
Yeah, we'll pass.
Yeah, I mean,
guys, the reality is. And we're making fun, but seriously, you're a general manager in the NFL right now, and you need a running back. I got to tell you, though, that there's two things I don't want to hear: growing surgery, hamstring injuries, knee, ankle. I don't want to hear any of that. So it's not a knock; it's just the reality that you're going to have a very difficult time going. Yeah, we'll just pick up the phone and trade him. Stop.
Yeah, but you haven't mentioned the salary cap considerations. You've got to fit that guy under your cap. I mean, if you traded him in the offseason, that would have to be his agent getting involved and restructuring his deal to go to another team, which there's no indication that would happen. So, I mean, you feel me on that?
I mean,
you've got to there's no dance partner for a trade for Devontae Freeman, guys. He's on IR right now.
Yeah. All right, with that, and by the way, I want to be clear about this too, because it's crazy and I know people are going, blah, 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 blah. We're not saying trade free.
How does that go one more time?
Because that's what happens. People lose their minds. We're not saying trade free. We're not saying free is done. I think Dan Quinn is going to tell us on Thursday that they expect him to come back off this surgery and be completely healthy and help this football team. He is still currently under contract for a lot of money. That's what I expect him to say. And that's what we hope. We hope.
All right, but here's the deal. You and Bo Morgan, our producer, Squidbilly, brought this up real quick before we get to the loot. If you have him on the roster in March, there's a roster bonus that kicks in. You could cut him in June. You bring him out to OTAs and see how ambulatory the man is. And then if you know, do you try to move him before the you would do it before the draft. You do it in the free agency period. There's just no market for the guy because the best case scenario, he comes back and he gave you a couple hundred yard games, which the likelihood of that is non-existent. Not with our offensive line.
Not right now. Let's give you a chance to win some money, guys. Positive.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
You know what? I got to be honest. Everybody's a little chippy today. Okay, everybody's on a little bit on edge. I don't know what the hell's going on in here. Craig's testing me. Bo's in my ear. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on today, all right? Get your mind right.
I'm just happy to be here, Coach.
The code word is water. And we need a water break, okay? W-A-T-E-R is the word, 72881. That's the number you text it to, 72881 for your chance to win $1,000.
Can you hold your water? Water, 72881. By the way, this morning on NFL Network, I was watching some of the stuff with that Good Morning Football.
Yeah, man.
They showed Peyton Barber trucking Jordan Richards on the way to 8 yards after contact. What's going to happen against Saquon Barkley? I sure hope Dan Quinn's got those guys tackling against the robot tackling dummy.
Hey, speaking of that, we will hear from Dan Quinn when we come back, and then we're going to get to our big story. Dog fans, we're talking to you next. All right, it is Dukes and Bell. We got our big story coming up. Seth Emerson joined us from The Athletic, and you'll hear him coming up next hour talking about the Dogs. One other thing we've been talking about today, and we're going to get to it, is what's the deal with the Dogs with, Fields and Fromm, and we say this is not a controversy. It's not anything except how one guy, at least in my opinion, Mike, could have possibly helped the Dogs in a situation in that LSU game. And moving forward, are you going to do something differently? Now, before we get to that, real quick, I do want you to hear Dan Quinn because Mike and I were in the studio just moments ago. You actually have probably got me more afraid of this situation than I have been over the last couple of days, and that is you keep saying to me, Saquon. How are we going to get Saquon on
now,
the ground?
Look, I mean, Saquon Barkley, for what it's worth, there's some days where he doesn't get the yardage because the offensive line for the Giants is terrible. But 821 yards from scrimmage so far, 6 touchdowns for Saquon Barkley. And here's the thing. What about him releasing out of the backfield underneath with our zone coverage, and then is someone going to get him on the ground? Because that's a concern. That's the worry, man, is the tackling, as we continue to hopefully get better at tackling, then at some point, I think you brought it up, you got to go to man-to-man, don't you?
Well, I will tell you now, I'll tell you Monday night when we're down at Mercedes-Benz giving you our take and getting ready for this game. If I'm the Giants, okay, I'm looking at tape and I'm seeing what these other running backs who have had success against us have done, Mike. We saw McCaffrey catch, was it 15 balls, Bo, almost for McCaffrey? Out of the backfield. We saw Kamara do almost the same thing. The Bengals came in here, and their running back went off out of the backfield. I'm just telling you, that's a big concern moving forward. It's not about stopping the run. I'm more concerned with how they're going to use him out of the backfield.
Now, again, Eli Manning, we were having some fun at his expense earlier. They were even suggesting to the New York Post that they go out and get a guy like Jacoby Brissett because at least he can, you know, throw the football more than 20 yards. Eli is still a professional, and if you can't get pass rush on him, he will carve you up. Agree?
Yes.
I mean, if Vic Beasley, Tack, Brooks Reed, whoever's coming after, if you can't get him on the ground, Eli Manning is still capable because we've seen it. You know, I mean, for all the, you know, the punchlines, the jokes that he's become, he can still deliver the football, and you still got a guy like Odell Beckham. So giddy up, man. Defense has got to continue to do what they do, hopefully get better and do better tackling because Peyton Barber, yards after the catch, we talked about that earlier. That was brutal at times, man. The tight ends as well.
We're going to hear what Dan Quinn has to say on Thursday, guys. Everything kind of gets pushed back for the Monday night game. So more to come on this and what we think about this matchup. But I did want you to hear Quinn talk about the offenses between Atlanta and the Giants.
They've got real speed at different spots, and so when you go against an offense like ours in practice with different guys to go, so Tevin runs like a receiver out of the backfield oftentimes, the speed that he plays with. So for the linebackers, the safeties, the corners, it's a good matchup, and it's really why we do so much good on good.
All right, we'll see where that goes. In the meantime, let's get to the big story.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
So what's going on with the Dogs, and specifically, why is it that when we see Justin Fields in the game, it's majority run? Guys, he had five snaps in this game against LSU. There were four handoffs, and he kept one. They were read option, all right? And that's according to Seth Emerson, again, who covers the team. You'll hear him about an hour from now. Mike, you've been trying to talk about this all day, been trying to lay it out to people. You continue to say, and I agree with you, what's the plan? Because it seems like there is no plan, and Kirby said that. How can you not have a plan?
Because if you're Florida and Todd Grantham, you're saying, well, if I got Fields under center, it's a run play. They're not letting him throw the ball yet. Why aren't they letting him throw the ball? Why don't they have more than one or two, you know, sprinkle him in their plays? Why don't you give him a series, you know, in the game? You know, do what you did with DJ Shockley. Now, again, he took his lumps early on. You know, he threw a pick that people still remember. Was that against Florida, Squid, where Shock came in? But, I mean, certainly you've got to let this guy spread his wings, because there was so much talk about this guy being the guy. And it's not a disrespect to Fromm, but, I mean, there was a time where you needed to shake things up. I do know that the truth of the LSU game was it didn't come down from me to Fromm versus Fields. It came down to Chaney not committing to the run, because they were able to run the ball and they got away from it. But I get what you're saying. Why don't you do more with Fields?
It's a great point, and I don't think either that's why they lost the game. I honestly think they lost the game up front. They weren't able to do what they had done to all these other teams physically to LSU. The Fromm and Fields thing is just bonus, because you needed a spark. And the way you get a spark is you put another guy in to try to create that spark. But for me, if you ask me, why did the Dogs lose? Well, first of all, that ridiculous fake field goal at that point in the game when you're on the road, take the points. Number two, you just didn't dominate up front. And that did not get you the results that had gotten you up until that point. With that said, you know, we were saying this. You have to stop limiting him. And if you're going to limit him, then you're limiting the offense and you're limiting what you can do with him. And I think that's the biggest problem right now with Fields. It's not about him starting over Fromm. It's not about Fromm not being the guy. It's simply when you use him, Mike, you need to have him throwing the ball vertically down the field.
Well, it might be an RPO, but it just looks like an RO, because there ain't no P. You know what? He's out there. We were talking about that with Seth, as you said. You'll hear the conversation coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Do you feel, though, that, you know, you touched on this yesterday, they don't want to see, obviously, the Kelly Bryant-type deal. You want to keep him engaged. But if I'm Fields, I'm not engaged. I'm like a novelty act. I'm coming in to hand off the ball or maybe do a keeper. I mean, you would think that Chaney and the Georgia Bulldogs were going to get more out of him at throwing the ball this year. And is this because Kirby doesn't want to see a real blow up in your face, we're talking about it every day, Dog fans losing their mind, quarterback controversy?
People will say no. I believe that he's trying to avoid that. And you just said it. Think about the way Alabama has handled their two quarterback situation. And if you watched Alabama, and they're averaging 53.1 points a game this season, that's dominant. When Jalen Hurts comes in, Mike, there's no difference. He's throwing the football. There's no difference in the offense. Now, he had been the starter, and they had relied on him to throw the ball. But Tua, and I brought this up, guys, he's got 21 touchdowns, no picks. So when Hurts comes in, though, it's not as if it's a run. It's an RP. It's a read option.
Right, no.
He's throwing the ball.
He's a quarterback with access to the entire playbook.
There you go. And that, to me, is the fundamental difference of what's going on right now with Georgia. Now, here's the other thing. It's Dukes and Bell. Real quick. People have said, why is it that way? Is it that Fields hasn't gotten the offense yet, Mike? Is it that he's not, you know, maybe the leader that they expect him to be? I don't think any of that is at play.
Well, you and I have been wondering here as Kirby asked the question about the reps and how many first-team reps for Fields.
He still comes in and practices and gets all the reps at running quarterback position, and I think he'll continue to do that. It's easy to sit back and say and second-guess at this time, but at the time, we felt like that gave us a spark with some of those runs that he does, and he's continuing to grow. Look, there's no fear in letting Justin go in the game and play quarterback and throw the ball. But at the same time, we got to give ourselves the best opportunity to win, and those are the decisions we have to make as offensive coordinator and head coach.
So what do you read from that?
Let me hear it again.
Nice way of saying he's not yet ready.
Let me hear it again.
He still comes in and practices and gets all the reps at running quarterback position, and I think he'll continue to do that. It's easy to sit back and say and second guess at this time, but at the time, we felt like that gave us a spark with some of those runs that he does, and he's continuing to grow. Look, there's no fear in letting Justin go in the game and play quarterback and throw the ball, but at the same time, we got to give ourselves the best opportunity to win, and those are the decisions we have to make as offensive coordinator and head coach.
Best opportunity to win. What's that mean? What's that mean? Best opportunity to win is having Fromm throw it.
You know, maybe he's not ready yet. You know, not everybody comes out and can be you know, Trevor Lawrence. Not everybody can come out and just plug in and go.
Did we know – let me ask you this. Did we know Fromm was ready?
Well, there's a lot of hype around Fromm.
There's a lot of hype around Fields.
So, I don't know, man. Let's get someone to sneak around the Buttsmere building,
burrow
under the hedges and see what's going on over there.
If you tell me that, did we know he was ready? I don't know.
All right, you know what? We're going to have to pay a mole to hang from the rafters at the House of Pain and see what they're doing in there when they're indoors.
I don't know. Here's the deal. And if you listen to that and you extrapolate what you want from it, you could easily say what Mike's saying.
If you're listening to us in Athens and you have any inside information, we'd like to hear about it.
You could easily say that Coach just basically said, listen, he's getting the reps.
Mm-hmm. We don't.
Look, if Chaney just runs the ball more, they don't do the stupid fake field goal, they're in that game. Huge momentum shift, and that's where you lost control of the game.
Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcon game for the Bud Light countdown to kick off. Mike Conte, Hugh Douglas will get you set with the preview matchup, guys. That's going to happen Monday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to Mike Conte. Also, we got our top three at 6 coming up. Dog fans, you're more than welcome to hit us up. Follow us on Twitter. It's 929 The Game. Mike Bell, ATL, and put 'em up. See Dukes.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, coming up, top three at 6, guys, and we'll get you caught up on some things you might have missed. Also, at 6:20, Seth Emerson on the dog. Stay tuned for that. Good stuff on the way. Mike Conte, what you got working, man?
Could probably make a lot of comments about Derek Jeter's stewardship of the Miami Marlins in his first year owning the team. Gutted the roster, got rid of whatever little talent they had left. It's a rebuilding process in Miami, but there's one thing that Jeets has been very, very emphatic about that I agree with. He has wanted to get rid of that god-awful statue in center field at Marlins Park. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Exactly. Like
the Marlins go spinning and the Flamingos dance whenever they hit a home run.
Real quick, Conte, and Mike, didn't you go this summer?
Yeah.
Did you go this summer?
Yeah, down there. It's a beautiful stadium. Yeah, they got rid of it.
It is a beautiful stadium. Well, actually, they had not gotten rid of the statue. There had been a controversy because Red Grooms, the artist who allegedly valued his sculpture at $2.5 million, said, wait a minute, you cannot move this. This is public art. And he vowed to exercise a clause in Florida law that if the sculpture was moved, he would disavow the statue, which would render it worthless.
Yeah, it's still there. Carl, there's the photo from center field.
Yeah,
still there, Mike.
Well, it won't be much longer because today the Miami-Dade County Board of Commissioners approved a plan to move the statue outside the stadium because Jeets, you know, wants to build some standing room only seats there where he'll charge $10 a ticket. Red Grooms is upset. He's going to disavow the work of art. And the sculpture, which is called Homer, is going to be moved outside the stadium. It will still be electrified, so whenever the Marlins hit a home run, the Marlins will dance, and they're also going to set the statue off at 3:05 p.m. every day.
Okay.
Because Miami's area code is
3:05!
3:05.
Nice. Yeah. I think I found that out. Pitbull. That's a joke. 3:05!
You know, he always says the same thing over and over. 3:05, Miami.
That's
Dade County.
That's where he is from.
That is
so,
where he's from.
Win for Jeets. I think a win for art, a win for making Marlins Park or whatever it's called look a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. Because that's the thing. Like, it's a beautiful stadium. It's a great idea. And then Loria, who, by the way, the Board of Commissioners hates, went totally overboard with, like, fish tanks behind home plate and the sculpture in center field and all the weirdness.
Yeah, so, I'm looking at this now, and this is, you know, as you said, electrified, and it's going on, and it's just out of place.
Yeah.
It's completely
gaudy.
Out of place.
It's gaudy. You would expect the Durham Bulls to have something
yes.
like
that. Right. Yes.
Or, you know, some single-A team in Tennessee. But the Marlins had it, but not much longer. They're going to move it outside the park.
Jeter, first good move.
First win. Yeah. First win.
Yeah.
Maybe not many more, but first win. Also in Florida, in Palmetto, Florida, Buffalo Creek Golf Course. A couple guys are playing a round of golf on Saturday. They get a visitor, an alligator. Now, that is common on the golf courses in Florida and Georgia, South Carolina. This alligator, though, is 15 feet long.
Oh.
It's literally the size of a Ford F-150. They've given the alligator the name Chubbs, by the way. I guess an homage to Happy Gilmore. No one got hurt. Chubbs apparently is a very friendly, almost domesticated alligator. He keeps his distance from golfers. Golfers keep their distance from him. And there was no incident, but the photo of this is crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
I'm looking at it right now on TMZ Sports. It's like a brontosaurus walking on a golf course.
It literally looks like a dinosaur, yeah. Like some kind of prehistoric reptile.
Have you ever seen one up close?
An alligator?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, very close. Not one that big.
They're scary. They're scary.
I saw a Florida Fishing Game come and take one away one year. You know, this is at my grandma's house in Newport Richey. They have the big gaffing hook, Mike, with a piece of meat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Gator comes, and they tie them up. Not a fun experience for the gator, and they throw them in the back of the pickup truck, drop them off in the Everglades.
When I was working on Hilton Head, we had the guy from Gatorland come on with us a lot. His name was Tim Williams.
They capture these gators,
yeah,
right?
No, he's like the guy they call in. Like, if there is a gator on the loose that escaped from the Tallahassee Zoo, they fly this guy in basically to wrestle the gator into submission. And the guy knows what he's doing, and he's like a gator whisperer, and he taught us all these safety tips about what to do if an alligator approaches you. And basically, if his mouth is open, that's when it's go time. You've got to get away from the gator because they're looking to eat. If the mouth is closed, they're just trying to, you know, cross the street.
So if you come across one and the mouth is open,
yeah,
run!
Yes.
Okay.
You do not want to.
But they're fast, though, aren't they?
They absolutely are.
Yeah.
This one is big. I don't know if he's nimble, but I wouldn't want to mess with him anyway.
No, I mean, the ground would vibrate every time he would take a step. I mean, it looks like he's 500 pounds, at least.
I just posted the video at Mike Bell ATL, so you can check that out.
There you go. Up in Loganville, Mike Vick's would-be mansion that he never actually got to move into, but he built it for himself. 7 beds, 7.5 bathrooms. It is now up for sale for $1.7 million. Just hit the market this week.
Okay.
And I don't think he ever got to move into this place. It is one of those crazy mansions. 4 acres, 2 kitchens, an elevator, a hair salon, all of that. What I did not realize is that Vic never moved in, but Jamal Anderson did.
Oh.
Former Falcon Jamal Anderson owns this house.
Does he?
The defensive end.
Jamal. Oh,
Not Jamal.
Okay.
No.
All right. Gotcha.
Jamal, yes, the first round out of Arkansas.
There are 2 Jamal Andersons who played for the Falcons in a relatively short span of time. But this.
One was really good.
This home is really beautiful, though.
Well, like, apparently Jamal held on to his money if he can afford that house.
Again, I want to be clear, this is the defensive end, yes. Jamal Anderson. I mean, it's a beautiful house. Here, I'll pass you the photo. I mean, it's got a little veranda in the backyard. Looks like they planted some palmetto trees, everything like very, very nice.
Nice.
So if you're interested.
What area, I'm sorry?
Loganville.
Oh, okay.
Loganville.
You see this one?
I think that's in the Grayson District. I'm not 100% sure.
It's kind of like, remember Willie Moe had like the giant water slide in his pool in the backyard?
It kind of does look like it could be a really good water slide or luge, but no, I think it's just some kind of terrace on the backyard. But yeah, $1.689 million. It's listed by Diamond Realty Brokers, if you're interested. And, you know, maybe the real estate market is hot right now, and Jamal Anderson will be able to get that house
off. Loganvillians, where do you go to get down out there, man? Where's the action?
I have no idea.
Publix? I don't know. I mean,
it's the sandwich shop down the street.
Girl.
You know the Hoagies are good there. Seriously, I mean, we did how long ago was this? The Falcons did a Friday Night Lights there in Loganville.
It was the last one, wasn't it? Wasn't it the last one?
I think the last one they did before they stopped doing it. It was at Grayson.
Right.
I mean, I've lived in Atlanta a long time. That was the first time I've ever been to Loganville. I had no idea, like, Gwinnett County had fairgrounds, but you had to drive out there to get to Loganville. And, yeah, I mean, I stopped for a little Publix sub, and it was lit. I mean, it was a really, really good sandwich.
Yeah.
So I guess that's how they get there.
There's a lot of folks came out there. And, by the way, our numbers are good in Loganville, so thank you, guys.
Yes,
Lawrence, we kill in Lawrenceville, Loganville, the Metroplex.
That's right.
That's right.
I just wanted to ask, was that the Friday Night Lights, the one with Hugh Douglas? That's not
that
famous one?
Nope, not that.
The Grayson
one.
Was the one where it was 115 degrees.
Grayson, it was unbelievably hot.
I remember that.
Incredibly hot.
Yo, Snellville, we got you too.
What up, Snellville?
Close proximity.
I mean, we're about to holler out to the whole city.
Yeah. Stone Mountain?
Yo,
every county.
Winder, where you at?
Monroe. Winder! Oh, man. Mike, great job. Why'd you have to bring that up, by the way, Craig? Why'd you bring that up, man?
Because that was one of our best shows ever.
Oh.
When we found out that one of the guys on the show was a cheerleader, and it went sideways from there.
Was Craig invited to talk?
Oh, good comment, Bo.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Craig. Back to that.
He's right. Hey, Mike Conti.
Good stuff.
Good job.
Giant alligator, Logan Billions.
Hey, real quick, I do want to give you a shout-out. Tomorrow, you're with Steve Holman.
Yeah, up at Madison Square Garden.
Some history.
At 7 o'clock. Yeah, Holman's 2,500th consecutive broadcast. Unbelievable.
All right.
A streak that started when I was 8 years old.
Bang!
Not joking.
All right, man. Steve, congratulations, and we will talk to you when you get back. Hey, guys, coming up, top three at 6. We'll get you caught up on some things you might have missed, including the latest with Devontae Freeman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.